Hey there. This ad caught your attention. It also caught the attention of the coolest people from Squamish to Bellingham. Music fans, students, and members of various cultural communities. If you want your ad to do the same, advertise with CITR and Discorder. If you've got a rad new ad or just something you want to share, whether in print, on air, or online, promote your wares, services, or events with us. Contact us at advertising@citr.ca or call 604-822-4342. Visit CITR.ca for rates, information, and packages. This is the end of our ad, and if you're still here, we must be doing something right.
This Daffodil Month, add a spring to your step with the Canadian Cancer Society's Daffodil Dash on April 24th, a run to raise funds for cancer research and prevention, as well as support for people living with the disease right now. Run solo, bring the family, or team up with your friends and colleagues, because every step you take, every dollar you raise, continues the life-saving work of the Canadian Cancer Society. Register today at cancer.ca/daffodil-dash.
Hey, welcome to CITR 101.9 FM. You are listening to The Real World with Dora. We have not done that in forever, and it made me so happy.
We're broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory in Vancouver, so yeah.
Yeah, that's very important to acknowledge. So just a little recap of our show, super quick, while we gotcha. We are The Real World, as in like the film Real was like whirling, like
yeah,
spinning.
W-H-R-L-E-D.
I still cannot spell that word right.
I was the nerd.
Whoa, congrats. You're welcome. We are the UBC Film Society's radio show. So we just kind of like are trying to bring different parts of campus culture together via film on our show. So,
yeah. Yeah, fun times,
isn't it?
Yes. So this is actually the last episode we're going to be doing relating to like the Film Society's programming this year, because we finished doing our screenings, or we will tomorrow. April 1st is our last night of screenings. So from now on, we'll probably be doing some different stuff. We'll talk a bit more about that towards the end.
Yeah.
But yeah, today, let's focus on some of the stuff that's going to be playing tomorrow on the grand finale.
We are going to be showing cop movies. Cop movies are hilarious. IMO. Just because, like, it seems like such a simple, like, idea for a movie. Like, there's a crime that happens, and then people solve it. And, like, so much of it is just, like, kind of, like, you know they're going to solve it. You know the criminal is going to be put in jail, whatever. You know the police officer is going to be fine. But you're still, like, on the edge of the seat the whole time. You're still, like, so into it. And what I find pretty interesting is, like, how people have played with cop movies.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it wasn't supposed to be hilarious.
No. It was, like, those were, like, serious. I think of it kind of as, like, a parallel for me is like gangster movies, and how those were like super like serious, almost very Godfather like real artistic endeavors. But now it's kind of like, if you make a gangster movie, like, it's kind of cliche at this point.
Yeah.
And
you have to work with the tropes, or you're like just not original.
Yeah. And cop movies are kind of the same, I feel, but people have made it very comedy based. So that transition is super interesting, and we're going to be talking about that today.
Yeah. So, did we say what cop movies we're showing?
Oh, we did not. Tomorrow, April 1st, Friday, we are going to be showing Spring in a Small Town and Hard Boiled, which are two Chinese-produced
cop movies.
Yeah.
We haven't actually watched them, so we're not going to talk about those. But
they look really good. You should see it. We're going to watch it tomorrow.
We are. So you should come and meet us. We can sign autographs and stuff because we're famous.
Oh!
Perfect.
Wouldn't that be exciting?
Yeah. So, like, basically, we have your classic cop movie, which would be along the lines of, like, Dirty Harry, Training Day. I'm not... Like, we were talking about Fargo. I think we should leave that more towards, like, the transition period, because it's an interesting thing. But, like, the classic thing. I think the cop movie is almost, like, the evolution of the Western, in a way.
Okay.
Because, like, it starts off, like, you know, you have the clear protagonist, and it just, instead of being in the Wild West, you just have them in a city, and then instead of being a sheriff, you have the cop, I guess. Obviously, the Western is way more focused on anti-heroes and whatnot, but I don't know. I saw that Dirty Harry has Clint Eastwood, so I immediately made the connection.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's what I do.
No, and it is a totally valid comparison to make, if in that they're both such simple kind of stories, very clear characters, and who you're kind of like rooting for almost, and then it like it ends like the conclusion is so nice and neat.
Mm-hmm. Like, I don't actually watch a lot of serious cop movies, but like I know the general trope. So with Fargo is like where I saw this kind of, you're not sure if it's supposed to be making fun of the genre or if it's like, I don't know, paying homage to the genre almost.
Homage.
With the type of stuff it's using. Fargo is a movie by the Coen brothers, which like themselves are quite problematic with what they do with genre. This one, you're making a face. Do you
speak? I just want to say, I just realized homage sounds like fromage, which is cheese in French. I thought I would share.
No, Dora.
It's just a really valid point that I thought of just now. Please continue.
So this is what we're adding to your movie experience.
You're
this
welcome.
Morning. But yeah, Fargo is about like this kind of failing businessman. I think he sells cars, possibly.
He's in a lot of debt.
Yeah, basically. And his wife's family is, like, super rich, so he tries to orchestrate her kidnapping so that her parents, can then pay for her to be brought back.
A ransom.
Yeah, ransom. And he would keep the ransom, so genius plan. But, like, the whole thing with the movie is that this guy's a failure, and the guys that he hires to do it, like, are supposed to be super tough and whatever, but they also keep failing at things all the time. So a lot of things go wrong.
Well, I forget the dude's name, not Steve Buscemi. That dude is terrifying. There's this big, scary, bald, silent dude who is blood crazy. He kills people willy-nilly. It's freaky. I've had nightmares about that character.
But the fact that he's paired up with this other dude, it's like,
that's fair.
You just can't take them seriously.
And also, that's a pretty common thing in cop movies, the like pairing and like having partners.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting in Fargo how like the bad guys are the ones with like the silly partner dynamic,
mm-hmm.
and the protagonist, like prevailing honorable cop, she's alone.
Now, yeah, the Coen brothers always like get the typical tropes that you see in movies of a certain genre, and they just like change it in a way that like you're not sure you like it, but maybe you like it.
I'm so sure I like it.
I'm just very confused by the Coen brothers a lot of the time. I like my relationship with Fargo is very love-hate. I've said this quite a few times to people that I talk to movies with. Talk to movies with. That is great grammar. You got it. But basically, like, yeah, I was just very confused. And I think that my big problem with Fargo are the accents. I can't deal with the voices.
Oh my god, they're so funny.
I love
them.
I can't deal with it.
My sister went to school in Minnesota, so every time I hear it, I'm like, oh, like, thank you. I feel it. That's fair.
Such a struggle.
But I still think it works with the genre really well.
No, that's the point. Like, I feel like they're doing it on purpose. They're trying to annoy whoever is watching this movie.
But I do think that it's pretty interesting how, like, older cop movies almost, like, I guess not older, but in that kind of period, they were playing with the genre a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Training Day is not, like, a typical, like, cop movie. It's, mm-hmm. like, Denzel Washington is, like, a corrupt cop, and he's, like, training this other dude,
mm-hmm.
on a day, and kind of like there's the partner dynamic, there's all the original tropes, but like who's the good guy, who's the bad guy is, mm-hmm. a little less clear. And I feel like, I'm pretty sure they came out around the same time.
I'm not sure, actually.
I
believe you though.
Thank you. But just I feel like that was a pretty ripe time to actually play with stuff in a way that wasn't like making fun of it,
mm-hmm.
but like just kind of like twisting it a little bit,
yeah.
Which I think is really interesting. But now we have stuff like Miss Congeniality or like
Best Thing Ever.
Like White Chicks is technically a cop movie.
I hadn't thought about that.
Rush Hour, the other guys, like there's so many cop comedies. Mm-hmm. Just because I feel like the tropes that were established in the infancy of the genre mm-hmm. are so easy to adapt to comedy, like partner dynamics. That's so like
you can make it so funny.
Yeah. And like even like having an over the top bad guy or an over the top good guy. And like also the situations that cops find them in. Like I feel like it's pretty common now to have like people who are totally unprepared.
Mm-hmm.
Like what are those movies? The ones with Kevin Hart and Ice Cube.
Oh my God.
Oh man.
Don't put me on the spot.
I'm pretty sure they're hilarious. These movies have been coming out right along. The Ride Along movies. Mm-hmm. It's Kevin Hart and Ice Cube. And they, like, Kevin Hart is, like, totally unprepared for the situation. Mm-hmm. Like, he doesn't know what he's doing. And that's, like, 80% of the jokes of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, like, you can do it so often. And, like, having it be, like, a character trait
yeah.
is, like, also, like, it's just kind of, like, why would you have to?
Yeah. Nah, that like makes a lot of sense. Just once a genre has gone on for long enough, like you can play with it for a while, you can make it be legit for a while, but then at some point, like you need to make a comedy out of it to make sure it's legit.
Yeah.
And specifically, cop movies just have so much that you can play on. Like what you were talking about with the partner dynamics is just a very real thing that I can notice.
Good. I think this is a perfect time for a break.
Oh, lovely.
So we're going to play Framed by Cheech and Chong. Get ready.
I was sitting in a coffee shop just minding my own affairs when all of a sudden this policeman caught me unaware. He said, is your name Pedro? I said, yeah, I guess so. He said, then come with me because you're the man we've been looking for. I said, hey, man. Up and let the bright lights shine. There was 10 poor dudes like me standing in that line. I knew I was a victim of somebody's evil plan when this scroungy looking dude came up and said,
yeah, that's him, man.
Hey, wait a minute, man. I've been framed, man. Oh, listen to me, judge. I was framed. I never do nothing wrong. Oh, but every time I get the blame. Hey, I've been framed. Then the prosecuting attorney started prosecuting on me. That dude gave me the first, second, and third degree. He said, where were you on the night of July 29th? I said, man, I was home in bed. He said, judge, that man's lying. I said, wait a minute, man, I was framed, man. Hey, judge, listen to me, man. Really, you gotta believe me, I've been framed, man. I never do nothing wrong. Oh, but every time I get the blame, oh, I was framed. Now, look, I deny the charges of having any weed. Deny the charges of taking any speed. I deny the charges of selling any grass. But when the judge looked down and said guilty, I said, judge, you can kiss my friend.
Like friends? Well, we like you. So become a member and get a Friends of CITR card. Not only does it make you special, but it gets you all kinds of deals with our friends on Commercial Drive, like 10% off at Stormcrow Tavern, High Life Records, Audio Pile, Mintage Clothing, and more. Visit CITR.ca for more, or come check us out in the Nest.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to The Real World on CITR 101.9. We had some issues with the mics at the beginning of the show, so just recognizing again that we are broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory here in Vancouver. So, yeah, you just listened to Framed by Cheech and Chong, an American-Canadian duo, and Chong is the Canadian in this, is the Canadian half. They actually also met in Vancouver.
Yes, so. They did, and Cheech... Was, this is just a fun fact that I just learned. Cheech was in Vancouver because he was escaping draft for the Vietnam War in the U.S.
That is fantastic.
Yeah, I think that's really cool. So welcome back to The Real World, the UBC Film Society's radio show. Today we are talking about cop movies. Just because cops are fun.
And because we're showing two cop movies tomorrow in our last day of screenings.
Kind of.
Also because they're fun.
But mainly just because they're fun.
We've been wanting to talk about them for a while.
But so we have kind of been talking about how they kind of progress from like kind of serious films to comedic and how like, the tropes are pretty easy to work with. And now I actually think Cheech and Chong was like such a great transition to... talking about like anti-cop movies or like where the I feel like I keep saying that but it doesn't make a huge amount of sense, but I'm kind of thinking of it as like where the protagonists like actively break minor laws almost pretty consistently throughout the film, but they're still like and like running from the cops is like a funny and like a good thing that happens almost. So the first thing that really came to mind was Harold and Kumar, and also Cheech and Chong, just like any weed culture movie.
Yeah, basically.
And yeah, I just think it's like a weird thing that kind of blossomed out of this because they also have the same tropes. Like Cheech and Chong, Harold and Kumar, they're duo movies. They have a clear goal, a clear antagonist, and they just like,
and a lot of the time the antagonist is now the cop, which I think is interesting because like the fact that you can turn the genre completely around and still make it work by just inserting the same tropes here and there is a funny thing that you can do with genre in general.
Super interesting. And those are also like all hilarious. Like I think that's the thing with cop movies, like the tropes of the genre just are so, like, almost perfectly set up for comedy. So, yeah.
I'm trying to figure out, like, does The Hangover count as that? Like,
oh, for sure.
They just keep breaking laws and running away and stealing cop cars.
I don't know. The Hangover was a pretty... I don't know. That was like a weird movie.
No, yeah. I still don't understand what genre that falls under.
Just amazing.
Quite a few of the 2000s movies are just like, they just go over my head, don't understand what genre
was a mess.
Trying to figure out what to do with our culture.
So yeah, that's kind of our spiel on cop movies, I would say. Since we are Film Socks radio show, we're going to talk a little bit about the end of the year, just because screenings are ending and... Yeah, there's a lot of, like, fun stuff happening, almost. It's kind of more of a recap than a fun stuff thing. But, so Film Stock has done a lot of, like, pretty great things this year. We've consistently put on Beer Gardens every month.
Beer Gardens are classic.
Yeah, and we've started the show, which is great and amazing. Thank you, CITR. But then, also, something that I worked kind of hard on that I'm pretty proud of is we produced two short films for the first time in about 10 years. 10 years seems a lot. Let's say 5 years.
A few years.
Yeah, in a while. And they went really well. We actually have a screening for them on April 14th at 6 in the Norman Bouchard Theater. So stop by, appreciate everyone worked really, really hard on them. And they're actually like pretty decent.
You want to tell us like real quick what they're about in like a sentence or two?
Sure. The first one that we shot was Nintendo. By Ashley, oh, I'm going to butcher her name, Cantonio?
Ashley.
And yeah, it's kind of, I read it as like this couple figuring out like commitment and like how they want to approach the next step in the relationship
as kind of like manifested in the Nintendo, which is pretty interesting. A lot of fun to shoot. And then the other one is Angel Valentino, concept and script by Jake Nesbitt, with a lot of help from Sarah Trapara and Eloane Venkatappan.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you. And that's just a fun movie. It's a comedy, not a cop movie, though, about this couple. A lot of love in the air.
Couples.
Yeah. Well, I say couple loosely. It's a pair of people. One, a man and a woman, and the man is very, very gay, and the woman won't accept that he is. And he's like, so that's a comedy. The other one's a little more serious, I want to say. But yeah, they're fun. Screening April 14th at 6 in the Norman Bouchard Theater.
Perfect. Another little brainchild of yours was the Clubs Nights, which we've been like talking about.
Oh yeah,
a lot on this show.
A lot of fodder for radio content.
So yeah, just FilmSock has been trying to connect with other clubs, bring more people out to the norm to appreciate the different types of films that like go past film culture.
They yeah.
just expand through all of culture. So we've just been trying to bring some of that in. We had quite a few marathons going on. Our first episode was on the Lord of the Rings marathon, mm-hmm. so that was a lot of fun. We had our Harry Potter marathon, which was a lot of fun. Hopefully we'll start getting more people into those.
Yeah.
Those marathons are fun.
Yeah, they were great. So FilmSock's had a really great year. I guess I would say. And then also, this is our last week of screenings. That's a lot of our focus at the club, is just putting on screenings at the theater in the old sub. And yeah, it's gonna be a dope two nights. We have The Frightener and Braindead tonight, which are terrifying. They're just like gory horror, like zombie witch movies.
Yeah, lots of nightmares to be had.
Yeah, so many nightmares. They're so freaky, but cool and like really fun to see. Mm-hmm. And then we have, as we mentioned earlier, Spring in a Small Town and Hard Boiled on Friday. Those are our last two films of the year. Woo!
Magic.
And they are Chinese cop movies.
Yeah. Apart from screenings, though, like the norm stays open. Just like we said, we have the screening of the cool production stuff that FilmSock has been doing. We also have some like festivals coming up with some Chinese.
Oh yeah, Steve Chang.
Yes.
I don't know. With actually at our CITR paired beer gardens Final Tap, a lot of you might have seen a dude break a pair of chopsticks with a $20 bill. That was Stephen Chang, and that was magic. And yeah, he's helping us. I guess he's organizing. We are providing a venue for the International Film Festival, focusing on Chinese film here in Vancouver. A really great event that's happening in October.
And like, is the film production thing a thing that people can come to?
Oh yeah, we're. Are going to be starting up again next year, just like any yeah. other FilmSock thing.
Cool things, yeah. We have a whole new team of execs. We have
Dama, congratulations!
Thank you.
You're
I'm
welcome.
Officially an exec now, so that's a lot of fun. Going to be making merch, maybe going to make some real world merch since we have so many fans out there.
Whoa!
You should call us. You should send us emails.
And you guys are listeners may not have known, but you were in the presence of greatness, because I am chairperson of FilmSock next year, which is also pretty exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a lot of dope stuff happened, gonna happen. It's all coming together.
Yeah, lots of fun stuff. Just like in terms of the show itself, we wanted to thank the listeners because we got an award last night at the AGM, something that we feel we should mention because we've decided that we're going to make our social media presence a thing.
It's going to happen.
It's going to happen. So you should totally check out our Facebook page because we're going to be posting a picture.
It's up.
Oh, it's up already. That is perfect.
Never fear.
We are on our social media presence stuff right now. So we have pictures of our award for Geeky Gigglers, because if you haven't noticed yet, we are geeks. and we giggle and on the show.
An obscene amount.
So much giggling.
Sorry.
But hey, you must love it because you still tune in.
Thank you.
So yeah, thanks a lot for that.
But because it is, we have been kind of focusing our shows around what we've been screening at the theater, we're going to be talking a little more loosely, just kind of about different genres, different things. We'll try to bring in more execs or just more people in general for a little more relaxed.
Yeah, we're working on getting a few Vancouver film producers in, talking to a few directors about some of the more local stuff that's been going on, because a lot of the time we do talk about movies that aren't necessarily like Vancouver-based. Normally, they're more international films, which is a great thing about the norm. We show lots of international movies, which is a lot of fun, and we also keep a lot of the big blockbuster Hollywood thing going on, which we can talk about for a long time. But it's always fun to bring it back to old Vancouver.
Vancouver Town.
Or Canada in general. I'm not sure if we're only going to be bringing in Vancouver people. But definitely, we're going to start getting more Canadian film producers, directors, etc. out here for fun. And yeah, it's going to be great.
Isn't that fun?
Totally.
So yeah, that's it's kind of like Film Sock in a nutshell. We're really, really grateful for everyone who's been listening in and everything. Today's episode was about cop movies.
It was great.
Do you have any last words on that?
Oh, I don't think so. Just next up, we have Pete's Picks. And yeah, we will see you next week.
Cool. Peace out from the real world.
Yeah.